Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday as we get set to take you on an adventure this morning. But let's stop first and thank our fine benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're always open online at caclfcu.org. Don't forget to check out their new location along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with great drive-through services to serve you. They were voted the number one lending institution for the past 6 years. It's because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to BG's Value Markets for convenient locations for your shopping experience. Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, Minersville. Stop by, check them out. They've got the freshest meat selection for the hottest irons of your summertime grill. Don't forget BG's Value Markets, aisles upon aisles of grocery shop savings. And of course, Jazz, if their meat was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
Thank you to Gears Dairy. Sip on, Schuylkill County. Of course, summer made for sipping, and there's no better thing for sipping than that beautiful Gears Raspberry Tea.
What
available
a
in a regular version or the Diet Decaf version. It's raspberry iced tea from Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Don't forget, they've got the dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to get your Saturday morning off right, and the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products, including that delicious, so tasty raspberry iced tea. Raspberry iced tea.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Charles. How are you today?
I'm okay. A little more subdued than you, I guess.
Yeah, what's up with that? You're like down in the dumps here or something.
Not
come on, you got great news on Wednesday. The PIAA says it's on as planned with ball.
Fall sports in general are on as scheduled right now. I think that's good news. It's hopeful. Yes, 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 it is. And, you know, with that,
in 10 days when we smack you across the knees with a 2x4.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what these fall sports look like as they're on schedule. I mean, I get it. They want people, they want these kids out participating. Everybody wants schools to go back in session. The question is, what's it going to look like? And you know, is it going to be two teams, coaches, trainers, doctors, and that's it? Maybe some announcers, maybe some media types, and that's it. You know, are they going to allow fans in? I mean, the governor just rolled it back to 250 people in outdoor spaces, and that would include players, referees, coaches, trainers,
bands, cheerleaders.
I don't know that you'll see a band. I don't know that you'll see cheerleaders. I don't know.
Let's face the facts, okay? As much as we could be hopeful, and I only hope that, I mean, I am totally wrong here, but you've got the Patriot League. No.
Well,
you've
that,
got
whoa,
the,
whoa, whoa,
the PSAC.
Whoa.
Back up the cart there, Charlie.
Whoa. There's a big, big difference between high school athletics and college athletics as far as where people are coming from as participants, okay? Colleges have to worry about kids coming from across the country and around the world.
Okay.
And that includes their athletes.
Okay.
High schools have their kids from their communities where you have a little bit more stranglehold on things.
Okay. Yeah, sounds wonderful, right? Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. You're a dreamer. Uh-huh. I'm a realist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right? So let's face the facts. All right? Schuylkill County. Okay? All right, maybe we don't have many cases. We're bouncing around between 3, 10, 12, 3, 2, 1, yeah, whatever. All right? But where are we going to play now? Where's North Schuylkill going to play? Where's Pottsville going to play? Where's Blue Mountain going to play? Where's Shenandoah is in a smaller school, so they're not going so far. But where are they going to play now? Oh, the Lehigh Valley. Things like that. All right. So now all of a sudden, story changed. Where do people work from the Lehigh Valley? They work in the Lehigh Valley. They travel to where? Yes, they travel to Philadelphia. Yes, they travel to New Jersey. Yes, they travel to where?
New York.
New York. All right. And they are what? Hotbeds. Okay. And all right. So we continue on. Think about it. Think about it. I did not believe a lot of this stuff, you know what I mean, at the beginning, you know what I mean, of the spring, to saying, well, you know, we'll be all right after summer. All this stuff will go away.
It doesn't.
What? I can't hear you. At work. I can't hear you.
Call the engineer in. We've got some static over here. But, I mean, I'm starting to doubt things. I'm starting to not think things are going to happen as we wish they would.
You're a bundle of energy to get started, but man, you're a killjoy.
No, I'm not a killjoy. I'm just facing reality. You know what I mean? Is it the Peace Act that Bloomsburg and all of them play in?
Yes.
They have announced they're not going to have football, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you also know some of the meaning behind these places pulling the plug collegiately, right? The NCAA passed some procedures along to their entire school entities, mm-hmm. Okay? Every athlete in the NCAA has to go through a COVID-19 test twice a week.
All right.
It's going to cost them $100 a person.
Okay.
Your smaller schools don't generate the revenue that bigger schools do. That's why you haven't seen too many of the Division I schools pulling the plug yet.
I think it's going to happen. You're going to start seeing Division I schools starting to pull the plug here sooner or later. I would not be surprised. Yeah, I mean, remember, a lot of these schools have yet, or divisions, yeah, I mean, one being the SEC, has yet to even step out and say what they're going to do. Yeah, I mean, right now, they're, you know, I mean, whatever they are, yeah, I mean, if they have 12 games on their schedule or whatever, that's what they're saying they're doing, but they haven't stepped up and said, whoa, wait.
But I'm going to play the optimist on this.
Okay, play the optimist. I'm not playing the optimist because I just see how this thing, I mean, and I've predicted this probably back in March, I could say, that, you know what I mean, and it, what we did yesterday affects what happens today, okay? So if you wanted football, you know, yes, it sucks staying in your house. Yeah, it sucks. I can't come over there and give you a big old hug like we used to, that man handling, and how we jump around in here, and you know, I mean, I'd hit you and you'd hit me, and I mean, we'd, you know, high fives, and can't do that anymore. Okay, and yeah, it's a small sacrifice for such a large reward in the end, but of course we are Americans and we're greedy and we're selfish, and you know, today we're going to, you know, give each other high fives and slap each other and, you know, do the fist bump and do the belly bump. And next thing you know, we're going to spread the COVID everywhere. And, well, guess what? Our big reward is pushed further off now because of our own selfishness. Wow. You don't have nothing to say today? You
want? I'm going to play the optimist.
Okay, play the optimist. Go ahead, optimist.
Play the optimist.
Go ahead, optimist. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm just playing the optimist. That's all. Some way, shape, or form, I think some things are going to... I do believe you that people need to continue to follow the precautions and follow the requirements, or however you want to put it, to help not spread this whole dastardly demon that's going around.
Bastard.
I said dastardly with a D, not a B. I think people need to do those things, do the right things. I agree with you. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people continue not to. I agree with you. But I'm an optimist.
All right. You don't sound very optimistic.
Not until the final bell sounds.
Ding, ding.
When that comes, then, okay, we'll figure out what we're going to do from there.
Rise, Saroni.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, quit being a downer. I mean,
I'm not a Debbie Downer.
Great program lined up.
Great program lined up.
Brad Baluchian to talk about the Wax Pack. And
yeah,
it's an interesting take on baseball, I'll tell you that. That was, you know, to think that, you know, when you're a kid, you buy a pack of baseball cards. And this pack was pre when they used to just sell you the whole set, so then you'd have the whole thing. There was no work in collecting like today. There's no work in collecting. You can buy the whole set.
Oh, can you? I haven't bought
mint in a box. Yes. You know, back when we were doing this as youngsters, some of that was on. Remember when they brought out the Upper Deck cards?
Oh, yeah.
And Upper Deck was the card.
Oh, yeah. It replaced Tops. I mean, it was a glossy photo, and it was a different card material. It wasn't that cardboard, but I still like Tops.
You like the gum.
Well, the gum was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, it had a distinct flavor and a distinct crunch when you started it.
And that powder that would end up on your lips and stuff.
Yeah. I always thought that was...
So it's interesting to think about, you know, and it'll be cool to ask the question of Brad, you know, what gave you this idea to search out fellas from baseball cards from the 1980s and want to see what's going on now? And, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Concept.
Listen, it's not something that I would be sitting around thinking about.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at it. I have a card collection. You know what I mean? Probably just like every kid my age has or every adult my age has. You know what I mean? You had a card collection or whatever. I still have, you know, some cards that, I remember the Upper Deck. You talk about Upper Deck. And, I mean, it's not a baseball card. It's a basketball card. But he just made the news the other day. Shaquille O'Neal. When he came out, I mean, you've got a card, and it was just like it was dark, and it had like a brick background, like there was a spotlight, and it had a hoop, and you actually had to send that card in the mail, and they sent you back the Shaquille O'Neal rookie, and it was the only true rookie card that Shaquille O'Neal had was the Upper Deck. So, I still have that laying around in good condition and stuff. But, I have a whole box filled with baseball cards, football cards. There might even be some Desert Storm cards. Remember Desert Storm? They had cards for that. It was a cool thing back in the
Do you remember when those little buttons tried to replace the baseball card?
Yes.
You'd have a headshot of the guy, the name and the team, and that would be what would be on the little pin, and we'd decorate our caps up with them.
Yeah.
See who could get the most of them.
I think the engineer's here to fix that static in that microphone.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Do you remember those days when that happened?
Yeah, the coin, they were almost like bottle caps. They were a little bigger than a bottle cap.
Yeah, kind of.
And it was like inverted, and like the player was in the inside of that. Yeah, I might have some of those laying around.
Yeah.
There was another one I remember it came out one time. They are called wild cards. And what happened with those, the premise on those was if you got a Chaz Hepler card, it was worth a nickel. Okay. But then there was a wild card and it would be worth five times. This card was worth, instead of the nickel, 25 cents because it was a five-time wild card.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they had those out at one time. There were some other ones. Tops then started to battle the Upper Deck, and they had the Stadium Club series. They were, around. But, baseball card collecting in the mid to late 80s, early 90s was a popular thing.
A very lucrative business for some.
At that time, I remember, you used to, hey, Mom, I got to go to the Fairlane Village Mall. For what? They got a card show. You were just at one last week in Hazleton. Got to be there,
People used to go all over trying to see what they could make.
Yeah, it was a cool time.
Speaking of baseball, the Phillies return tonight to live action here on WPPA.
Yes, 6:05, taking the trip to Washington.
Yep. So we'll have some Phillies exhibition. Sans fans, some cool things. I don't know if you had the wherewithal. I know you probably wouldn't go out of your way to look at it, but I watched the Phillies inter-squad game this week at Citizens Bank Park. They streamed it on social media sites.
Yeah, it came on at 8:00 or something, right?
Yeah, you go on and watch it. And they were pumping in fan noise. All the organ music was going on. All that stuff was happening, music between innings. And you know, guys were playing different positions, but some guys had no numbers.
Yeah, wasn't it? I think they just came out and said that Major League Baseball will use the sound noise or something like that from MLB The Show or something, the video game that's out. We'll use like the noise from that or something, or sound effects or something from that. So it will be pretty cool, you know what I mean, just because, you know, it could be kind of boring. I mean, I remember NASCAR there when Kevin Harvick won the first race back, and he says he got out of the car and he was waiting for everybody to cheer him, and there was nobody there to cheer, nobody, you know what I mean? It was sort of an odd experience. So, yeah, I mean,
well, there were fans cheering on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
they were loud.
Yeah.
For one quarter of the Bristol, which we've been to, it's a monster. It sits about 120,000, 150,000 people, and they had 30,000 in there to watch the race, socially distant. And, boy, they made some noise.
Yeah, yeah. And I read some reviews, different people talking about that, how they set up with a staggered entrance times and staggered entrances, and then they even staggered them exiting the last Coliseum. So it seemed like it was a well-run show there by NASCAR on Wednesday night. They're going to have fans in attendance once again on Sunday at Texas. There's some fans going to be in attendance. I'm not really sure the exact number, but I mean, they're starting to get things back. I mean, and of course, when you have a 2.5 mile venue, or you know, a mile venue or something like that, you know, Bristol only being half mile, or being a mile, what? Where did that come from?
Don't mind those.
Okay. That was scary. Flew right by my eye.
Yeah, don't mind those.
Don't mind it? Okay.
Don't mind those.
But, I mean, having the fans back in attendance is something neat. I don't know, you know, baseball, will we? A lot of people say we may see it later in August, early September, as stretch runs start happening, but not sure. Yeah, I mean, time
well,
will only tell.
Here's an interesting thing. Talking about video games and MLB The Show, that crowd noise being pumped into the stadiums. Madden has announced they will be taking off the Washington Redskins logo from their video game product in 2021. The new Madden 2021 game will not have the Redskins logo. How's your significant other holding up through that name change?
I don't think she is all that thrilled with the removal of the logo. The name is one thing. Yeah, I mean, like you could remove the name, but the logo is probably the toughest part of it.
Speaking of the devil, and she shall appear.
Yeah, the logo, removing the logo was the big thing, because the logo is nice. I know the creator's grandson or something of that logo stepped out and said that his grandfather wouldn't be happy, you know, because it does pay homage to Native Americans. I'm not sure, what's so horrible about the logo. You know, the funny, amazing thing is there's a gentleman who on July 4th, it was, contacted NFL Properties or whatever it is, and he had four names trademarked. And he has them trademarked for quite some time. He's a legal guru from the Alexandria, Virginia area or something like that. And he had four names trademarked and football logos or something. I mean, so it would cover football. I don't know how it works, okay? But the names he had was, he has Red Tails. He has...
Warriors.
Something else like the Washington Americans or something. And there was one other name. And there are four names that you've heard tossed around as possible replacements for the Redskins. And he had said that he would more than willingly give them and not hold anything up in litigation, give them to the NFL and to the Washington Redskins. And he gave them 10 days. That has since expired. And nobody has, you know, come to him and says, hey, yeah, listen, we would like to have the name. Oh, Generals, I think, was one of them, because it was tied up in an arena football league or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. But nobody stepped forward and says, you know, listen, yeah, we'd like that. So now he says if they want it, they're going to have to pay for it or fight me for it. You know, he did give
I think they should just talk to the person who created the movie The Replacements and just use the Sentinels. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. You know what I mean? I think we could also, you know what I mean, like we could call them the Swamp Rats. You know, they say about the swamp, you know, I drain the swamp and stuff like that. Not getting political, but, you know what I mean?
You're getting political.
You could say Republicans, Democrats, the whole Congress, whatever, the whole political system is full of a bunch of swamp rats. So, yeah, you could call them the Washington Swamp Rats. It would fit very well, I think. You know, you could call them the, you know, Washington Ripoffs. You know, and they could have, like, an instant lottery ticket up there. Yeah. Or, I mean, you could, again.
You put some great thought into this, I think.
Once again, you could, you know, you could call them the Washington Wash-Ups. You know, because there's a lot of wash-ups there in Washington. The has-beens, never-will-beens. I don't know. I don't know. You could call them a lot of things. And it probably all would fit with a Washington mantra somehow, some way. You could tie it all in. You know, Washington museums. Things are, you know, there's a lot of museums in Washington. The statues.
The monuments.
The monuments. Hey, there you go. The Washington monuments. And then there's probably a trademark by the federal government on the Washington Monument or the National Park Service, so they therefore would get in trouble for that. The D.C., you know, whatever. The D.C. losers.
Man.
You know.
You just like picking fights, I
dropouts.
Think.
The D.C. tax invaders. What else? Have you ever seen that list of, you know, I mean, there's, you know, 75 bankrupt individuals, 1,800, you know, felonies between all of them. Oh, what is it? It's the United States Congress. You can call them whatever you want to call them.
I think this commentary is for another show during the
week. But, you know, the most important part about it, no matter what they're called, they'll be last into the NFC East Division, and that's all that matters.
Wow. Wow.
And you call them the D.C. cellar dwellers? That's what they've been the last few years. That would be fitting.
Wow. Well, I was just wondering how she was holding up through all this.
I told you. Just more upset over the logo than the name, the actual name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand it, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, is it going to roll into anything that's associated with it? You know, like, did they go after the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium? Did they go after the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians?
York Yankees. I'm pissed. Call me a Yankee. I'm pissed. Why don't we change it? You don't have the Dixie Chicks anymore. They're just the Chicks. Why are we using Yankees? The Yankees were the North, right? Am I correct?
I guess.
Funny you're allowed to use Rebels. The Rebels were the South, right? Yankees versus the Rebels, right? Is that what it was? Why aren't the Yankees forced to change?
That's just, I want to see how far this goes now.
Yeah. Why aren't the Yankees forced to change? You know what I mean? Why aren't the Patriots forced to change? I'm not a Patriot.
The eagle is the national symbol.
Why aren't they forced to change? Should be the turkeys. That was the symbol. That was supposed to be the symbol. And then they said, no, and we're going with the eagle. It's majestic. Okay? Why don't you make them change? Cleveland Browns. Why aren't they made the change? Keep going. The Bengals. What? How does somebody from Bangladesh or Bengal feel? Okay? You could go through every freaking name. Okay? We have people that... We have the San Diego Chargers. Okay? So you're telling young kids that they should get a credit card and ring it up! The San Diego Chargers! Ring it up! There's another one you could take off the list. The Rams, take them off the list, okay? You're. I mean, what's a ram? Oh, it's not a ram; it's a goat, or something like that. All right, you could go all the way through the whole list, okay? Houston Texans. Now all of a sudden you're picking on Texans. Somebody from Texas. Well, I don't want to be a Texan. I want to be an Austonian.
Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. Offensive to Cowboys. Okay? You know, I mean, you're offensive to somebody who is a farmer. He's not a cowboy. A cowboy he's a farmer. He's a rancher. Okay? You could go all the way through and you could find something to nitpick about everything. And I don't care. I'm not a Met. Okay? You're calling me a Metropolitan. I'm from Manhattan. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Queens. I'm not a Met. That's offensive to me. You call me a Met. It's like the same way as I always say, okay, I take offense to Skook. I take offense to the word Skook because I'm not a Skook. I'm not a Skook. All right? I'm from Schuylkill County. I'm from Frackville. I am not a Skook. To me, that's offensive. So if you want to nitpick and we want to start digging into everything, you can find everything offensive. Just telling you.
Wow.
Bears. Chicago Bears. The Packers. Making fun of the people who packed the meat. Okay? They were the Acme Packers. They're making fun of them.
There was never an A in the middle of that. There was only one on the front.
Okay.
Remember, you can't spell Acme without me.
Yeah.
You used to have that T-shirt.
I did not have that T-shirt. Was that for the Frequent Shoppers Club? Was it?
I don't remember.
You can't have the act without me. You know what I mean? How far does it go? You're right. You're right. How far does it go?
And that's, that's part and parcel to it all. And,
the rebels, the running rebels of UNLV or whatever, rambling rebels or whatever they are, the running rebels. How far does it go? You could start doing everything, start taking all of this stuff out. Okay. And next thing you know, you're stuck with, hey, meet the, I don't know. It's just amazing. It's amazing. I don't understand it. It is what it is. It's a time we live in. We'll continue on. It'll be the same old in the end. I think we should name them, the Washington Maroons.
The Washington Maroons?
Bring the Maroons back. Bring the Maroons back. They wear maroon shirts. That's like a maroon color, right? That red that the Redskins have. They have that red, white, and yellow. That's a maroonish color.
Oh, it's maroon. Red. Yeah, maroon.
Let's call them the Maroons. Let's go on a campaign.
I was on a campaign and you made fun of me for it, so there's no more campaign with this guy, but yeah.
You had the wrong letter after your name, probably. I didn't like
it. Why don't we take a time out and let you cool down? When we come back...
I'm not fired up. I'm just giving you.
We're going to talk to Brad Baluchian. He wrote a book called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road, In Search of Baseball Eternity. And he's coming up around the corner here on WPPA Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, and around the world at WPPARadio.com.
Missed the show? Don't forget the podcast. We're available on Apple, Google, also on our host site, anchor.fm. You'd also find us on Spotify. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
Baseball is back. Hi, everybody. Scott Fransky here, and excited to say that Phillies baseball returns July 24th as the Phillies take on the Miami Marlins. With just a 60-game season, every game means that much more. Join Larry Anderson, Kevin Franzen, Jim Jackson, and me for the long-awaited season opener, Friday, July 24th at 7:05.
Phillies baseball is home on WPPA, AM 1360, and 106 FM.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Summer is here, and the folks at Gears Dairy are proud to introduce the newest member of their iced tea family, Raspberry Tea. Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along Tumblin Run Road. Gears Dairy Raspberry Iced Tea and Diet Decaf Raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Summer's for sipping. On the porch or a day trip to the beach with the full line of Gears Iced Teas, including their newest flavor raspberry in half gallons and plastic pints. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Welcome back here, WPPA Sports Saturday. And boy, Chaz, I told you, a big show, a big surprise coming your way. And we've got another author joining us here this morning. And Brad Baluchian is a author of the Wax Pack. On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife is the book that he wrote. And Brad, let me get this straight. 1986, they put out a bunch of baseball cards. You buy them like 30 years later and chewed on the bubble gum?
Yeah, and live to talk about it. Yeah, I grew up in Rhode Island collecting baseball cards and had thousands of them. And fast forward, you know, almost 30 years, and I had this crazy idea that what if I got a pack from the era that I grew up in 1986 being the first year that I collected cards, and kind of take a vow that whatever players are in the pack, I'm going to go track them down on a crazy cross-country road trip and tell the story of what happens to athletes after they're done playing.
You know, you take this crazy road trip, and, you know, I mean, was it a Topps pack? Because that gum was delicious. If I remember correctly, the gum that was in there was, you know, had a white powder on it and had a delicious flavor.
Yeah, it doesn't quite hold up 29 years later, but I'm sure it was okay in 1986. But yeah, it was tough.
You know, Brad, the question I have is this just a sitting around kind of epiphany, or is this just something that you thought for a long time is something that you wanted to do?
Well, I started thinking about it when I really wanted to do a book project. You know, I'm a freelance writer, and I've always written shorter things, and I always wanted to have the space to be able to go longer. And the moment where I thought of writing a book around a pack of baseball cards was kind of an epiphany moment, where it was like something about the pack just reminded me of a book. You know, the shape of the pack, the fact that there's 15 cards and a book has, you know, generally 15 chapters. And I love the randomness of it, that you would, you know, that sort of whoever you get, that's who you go with. And kind of the thrill of not knowing who's going to be in a pack of cards.
Well, you open up this pack and you ended up with some names that baseball fans would be familiar with. I mean, Carlton Frisk. Who doesn't know Carlton? Well, probably one of the greatest catchers of all time.
Yeah, and you know, there's a good range from Carlton Frisk and Dwight Gooden, Gary Templeton, all the way to Jaime Coconauer and Don Carmen. And, you know, I was an unusual kid in that my favorite players were actually the common cards, the underdog guys, the bench warmers. So I actually had kind of an opposite reaction when I opened the pack. I was more excited to get Randy Reddy and Rance Mullenix than I was to get Carlton Fisk, because I always thought that the guys that weren't the stars would just be more interesting to write about. You know, their stories hadn't been told. They had to, you know, they had to kind of struggle a little more to keep their jobs. And you know, generally speaking, the more famous someone is, the more their ego kind of goes to their head. So I figured that the guys that were not as famous might be, you know, easier to talk to.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. You're leading me right where I was thinking, Brad. When you meet these people now, so many years later, the spotlight, not so much there. I mean, they probably go to some collector shows and those kind of things. You know, is it interesting to see the people that you idolized so many years later and who they are?
Yeah, especially because this book really is about who they are as people. It's not really a baseball book, and I was amazed by how much these guys opened up to me. You know, I did a lot of different things with them. I went to one guy's house on the 4th of July. I went bowling with Randy Reddy. I went got a hitting lesson with Rance Mullenix, went to the zoo with Don Carmen, and doing all these different activities, which made for, you know, a more entertaining scene to write about. I also was impressed by how vulnerable they were willing to be. And one of the things that really came out that I didn't expect was this pattern of how many of these guys had really had broken relationships with their fathers. And so I end up exploring that quite a bit, and the trauma of that broken relationship. And I think ultimately, it's a book that really evokes emotion in the reader. You know, it's not a reference book. It's not a dry baseball book. It's really about these guys as people.
Brad, when you call somebody up, yeah, I mean, you call a Doc Gooden or the Gary Pettis or the Randy Reddys up, and you tell them, hey, listen, I just opened up a baseball pack from 1986, and, I want to write it. What's their initial reaction?
Well, I think, I mean, to give myself some credit, I mean, I had written for many, you know, big name publications, so I was able to say, hey, I'm a writer who's done, you know, I've been published in Rolling Stone and National Geographic and these different places. So it wasn't complete, you know, just random fan. But at the same time, the premise was very unusual, and so I think they were just kind of perplexed a little bit. But to their credit, they were generally generous enough to say, hey, if you're coming into my town, you know, I was basically saying, yeah, I'll come to you. They were willing to give me some time.
That's kind of interesting that, you know, they were willing to kind of approach their whole life story through, you know, the profession that they were involved in, now not so much, and be willing to barrel. That tells a lot about the individuals in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, these guys having been out of baseball now for 20, 25 years, I mean, they're older, they've got some perspective. I think that helps with their willingness to talk to me and, you know, to kind of open up.
It's interesting how much the game for the player itself has changed. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed John Kruk with his affiliation with the Philadelphia Phillies and our station being a Phillies affiliate. And he and Randy Reddy went to Philadelphia at the same time. And they came from San Diego and they made that trip together. And he spoke, you know, how different baseball is today. Did any of those guys look back on it and say, wow, now would be the greatest time to be here?
Well, I think a lot of guys, you know, certainly are envious of the kind of money that these guys make now. You know, back in the 80s, you know, they were making decent money, but not the kind of money these players make now. But I think they were all happier playing when they played because they talked about how the kind of camaraderie that existed back then may not quite be there anymore. That, you know, back then they would go out, 15 guys would go out to a restaurant or a bar after a game together, and that doesn't happen quite the same way anymore. And I think a lot of that's because of the social media. Everyone has a cell phone now. I mean, back then in the 80s, you know, you could go out and do whatever, and you didn't have to worry about people, you know, taking pictures of it and documenting it.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the world has changed so much since, you know, I mean, these guys played. I mean, they have to be so much more reserved now. Everything that you say is, you mean, subject to criticism on social media, and then, I mean, it's just blown up from there. Who was probably the most unique out of them that you met, Brad?
Most unique? Well, I think, I mean, one of the guys that stands out is Jaime Kokenauer, who was by far the least successful player. He pitched for 4 years for the Brewers and didn't have much success. He was the one guy in the pack who had his college degree when he retired. And so the day he retired, he stepped off the baseball field and right into a really good job at an accounting firm. And, you know, it's an interesting study that the guys that, you know, he may have been the least successful baseball player, but in terms of his life after baseball and the adjustment, he seemed to be the happiest of everybody. So it's a bit of that tortoise and the hare thing where, you know, in the long run, someone like Kokenauer may have led the most fulfilling life.
It's very interesting when you can gauge that, and you have quite the number of individuals here. Now, you said you were a baseball card collector, and this is kind of when, you know, your interest was really running rampant. Now, I can remember back in those days, they really didn't sell full card decks, or they were tough to come by, and you usually had to trade with friends or somebody in order to fulfill whatever you wanted to get with your baseball cards. And, you know, how deep involved were you at the time to use that to now springboard into this?
Well, yeah, as a kid, I mean, you know, baseball cards was sort of our entry point into following the game. And, you know, I had, just like you said, I had my friends who I traded cards with, and it was fun. You know, that it was like being a little general manager. You get to, you know, you look up the prices in the Beckett price guide and make deals and all of that. So, you know, I think we had to use our imaginations a lot more as kids, and I'm really grateful that baseball cards, you know, provided that. And that's really, I think, the appeal of the book initially is just it reminds people of what that was like to open up those packs and, you know, not know who you're going to get and make your collection and trade your cards and all of that. So I think I'm tapping into some nostalgia, you know, from the generation that, you know, that grew up with that.
You know, Brad, you talk about nostalgia. I can remember placing a baseball card on the back part of the frame of the bike and running it through the spokes and make it sound like a motorcycle.
Yeah, you know, there's many stories like that, and then people who regret, like, imagine what that would be worth right now.
Yeah, yeah. you think?
Yeah, no, that's very common use of the cards back in the day.
Brad, how do you get a copy of the Wax Pack on the open road in search of baseball's afterlife?
Well, if people go to waxpackbook.com, you can check out how to get the book. It's available wherever books are sold. Also, I'm on Twitter at WaxPackBook, and, you know, happy to hear what people think.
You know, it's interesting. Part of the promotional piece to this, Brad, is that the book is more of a reminder that greatness is not found in the stats of the backs of the baseball cards, but in the personal stories of the men on the front of them. And I think we're in the ESPN generation where stats and performance that are highlighted there seem to be what kids want to emulate. But kind of in the Kokenauer story, you know, the importance of getting that degree. And, you know, when you look at all of it, sum it all up.
I think that one of the players we had, Don Carmen, who was a longtime Phillies pitcher, who's now his job is he's a psychologist for Scott Boras, for all of Scott Boras's clients. So all those, you know, the mega stars that need, whenever they go into a slump and they need some therapy, Don Carmen goes and works with them. And he told me he's in the book and he really enjoyed the book. And he told me that he's now making it required reading for all of his new clients when they sign their professional baseball contract, because there's a lot of wisdom and perspective in there from these players, these guys that, you know, are now in their 50s and 60s and are looking back over their career. And, you know, when you are a 20-year-old, 18-year-old, you know, kid and you're kind of handed the keys to the kingdom, there's a lot you have really, really early on. And so it's really important to keep some perspective on your career and your life and, you know, not get too carried away with it. And so I think this book, by talking about these guys as people beyond just, again, a statistic or, you know, their war or whatever, you know, stat you want to use, is a reminder that these guys are human and there's a lot more to their lives than just the baseball part.
Yeah, I would think one of the interesting ones to read about would be Doc Gooden. Because, I mean, off the field, he's made just about as much noise as he has on the field.
Yeah, and Doc, you know, it's a very sad story. You know, you read that chapter and you see how even in my, I mean, I'm in his living room talking to his oldest son and he's not showing up. And so that story is very poignant and very sad. And, you know, his lifelong disease with addiction. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of a lot of different lessons to be learned, I think, from the book.
Well, Brad, one more time, remind our listeners here this morning how they could get a copy of the Wax Pack and, you know, what else could they expect in the book?
Well, yeah, again, going to waxpackbook.com. And, you know, I think now that the book's been out for a couple months and it's gotten a lot of good feedback, I realize that even when there's been some, you know, negative reviews or criticism, the one thing I can say about the book is that it elicits an emotional reaction in its readers. And that was my goal, was to write a book that would resonate in some way emotionally with the people reading it. And I feel like, based on the feedback, I've done my job there.
Indeed. Well, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it, Brad. And interesting take on the world of baseball card collecting. And that's a mighty fine epiphany. And, boy, the road to travel through this book is going to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, 11,341 miles in 7 weeks. It was quite the journey.
Wow. Wow, I was going to ask that there quick. I forgot about that. That was one of my questions I had written down early on about how many miles it took you. And did you fly or did you travel?
No, that's all in my 2002 Honda Accord, which still driving to this day.
Wow. So you put 11,000 miles on a 2002 Honda Accord. That thing's got to be over 200,000.
Yeah, we're at about 250 now.
You could be a commercial for them. But, Brad, we thank you. We'll remind our listeners, get out there, get the waxpackbook.com, get on Twitter. You can find it. You also find it where books are sold. And, Brad, thanks for joining us here this morning and talking about a wonderful journey that you had in your life. And continue up the good work.
Well, Doc, what an incredible interview with Brad Bellucci. And who would ever come to think, you know, I want to see what these guys are doing today, and to find those stories and tell it to the world. And those guys for being willing participants in doing so.
It almost seems like a barroom challenge, right? Over a few drinks on a Friday night. Hey, I bet you can't go find these guys.
Yeah, almost. We'll be back on Sports Saturday right after this.
CBS News is now available on WPPARadio.com. CBS News Radio is your home for breaking news. It's coverage you can trust, and now you can get it on demand on the WPPA website. Just go to WPPARadio.com and click on the CBS News player. You'll be able to instantly hear the full newscast. It's updated every hour, 24/7, 365, so you'll always get the latest stories and know what's going on in your world. Check it out now, and whenever you want the latest news, that's the CBS News player on WPPARadio.com.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
The Hawk Mountain Council is hosting Activity Days for Cub Scouts in our area. If you're already a Cub Scout or a child interested in scouting, then these free day camps are for you. Join the Hawk Mountain Council at the Hawk Mountain Scout Reservation. That's at 402 Blue Mountain Road, Schuylkill Haven, Saturday.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know ticks suck. But what you might not know is that they don't just suck blood way out in the woods. Those creepy little bugs can be anywhere, all year long. And I do mean little. They can be smaller than the head of a pin. But big trouble comes in these small, gross packages. Even a tiny tick can make you super sick. So what's the most important tip to avoid getting bit? Well, duh, pay attention. Remember, ticks can be just about anywhere outdoors. Then spray attention with an EPA-registered insect repellent. Wearing long socks and other protective clothing is a good idea, too. When you come back inside, shower. And always remember, check for ticks everywhere. And if you do get a tick bite, don't panic. Tell an adult. And visit ticksuck.org to learn how to remove it properly. Ticks suck, but being outdoors shouldn't. Go to ticksuck.org for more information. Ticksuck.org.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. WPPA Sports Saturday, AM 1360, 106 FM, and worldwide, WPPARadio.com. And, you know, ticks do suck.
Don't forget about the podcast. Anchor.fm, Apple, Google, Spotify. It'll be up a little bit after the program's over today.
Yeah, it doesn't take us very long. We've pretty much mastered that bad boy down to a science now. But, you know, great interview there. And, you know, like I said, what a barroom challenge that sounds like. I mean, that sounds like a good Friday or a Saturday night in Schuylkill County, sitting around and enjoying a good time. And
you won't go do that.
You won't do that. I bet you $1,000 you wouldn't go and try to find those players nowadays. And, well, that's what he
well,
did.
Well, I mean, the good thing for Brad is he had the credentials of which, you know, hey, published here, published there. He's a known writer, you know.
Yeah.
If some couple of saps like you or I would have decided to try this, we would have had the door closed on us, maybe.
It would have been slammed and police called and, you know, I mean, FBI would have been investigating us as, you know, stalkers or something like that. We would have been in a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Yeah, I mean, let's run a segment. You know what? That would be fun to do, like, if there wasn't sports in the fall. It'd be fun to go back and, you know, I mean, it'd be fun to find out where some of the people from the past are. You know, almost like the Republican Herald's doing with their blasts from the past type of memories articles. Wouldn't it be fun just to jump back and say,
maybe,
you know,
we should get Les Blankenhorn on the show.
Yeah. You know, like, that would be fun. He's a man that's seen a lot of things and
could
talk.
Sports-wise, sure.
Yeah, talk a whole heck of a lot about Schuylkill County sports.
Could interview Larry O'Rourke.
I could do that right from here, gentlemen. Now, I've been broadcasting since 19...
I think he strung the first wire out of that board.
69 is what he told me. That's how long I've been here.
He could. I think he ran the first wire out of the control board.
No, he didn't do that.
It was very close, but no, it would be fun. Yeah, I mean, maybe we could do like an old balls type of segment. Yeah, I mean, where we get these people in here, you know, older folks talking about, you know, the ball games. You know.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-hmm. That concept's been floated.
They made a movie about.
I do have creative license.
They do have. They did have a movie made about a lot of them grumpy old men. Wouldn't it be fun?
Though? You're making buddies all over the place in this world, aren't you?
You know what I mean. I'm not worried about it anymore. Darn, I'm quarantined, buddy. Nobody sees me anyway, so it's all right. I can make a lot of enemies. Then when I come out of quarantine, I'll just say, you know, like, hey, I'm back. You said, hey, I was in quarantine. I don't know what you're talking about. Then they'll pull up the podcast, and the podcast hits will go up, and that means that would be generating more revenue. I mean, hey, it's a win-win situation.
Generating revenue off that podcast.
Come on, we can. You've got to think about how we could, you know, rack in war here.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? You want to go back to
interesting.
You want to go back and touch on some more, you know, more subjects? You want to get me fired up some more here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to get you fired up some more, but I don't want to figure out what those subjects are at this stage of the game because I don't know what's eating you, lad, I guess I should say, huh?
Well, you know, you just start saying stuff, and then I'll, you know, I mean, I could fire off or, you know, I could, you know, you just got to start hitting around. Poke the bear.
No bear to be poking. You know, like I said, Football Guide is in production, ready to roll, and moving right along.
25th anniversary.
25th anniversary of that book. That's a pretty impressive feat. I got to show you a picture before you take off today.
Oh, great.
You get a kick. You know, I think you'll think this is really wild.
All right.
All right?
All right.
I'll have to show it to you. I didn't email it to you.
Oh, why not?
Because I forgot to.
You forgot. You thought we were still.
I kept it under wraps.
You thought we were still back in the original days, right? Where, you know, 25 years ago, we didn't have email.
I think folks are going to be surprised when they get this book in their hands and take a look at how the cooperative schedules meshed out for our area teams, and they take a look at the players and, you know, who's got the experience, who doesn't, and how that's all going to work together and work out. It's going to be real, real interesting around here should football happen.
Oh, well, 45 minutes ago, you were Mr. Optimist. Now you're saying should.
Okay. When football happens. How's that?
I was just touching you. I mean, I was just picking up your errors. You made a goof.
Keep handling that mic and make it shut up, because you're picking at me all of a sudden. So
the engineer's here. We could get him to fix it.
Yeah, he's here.
I told you. Before, there was static in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can come back, too. You keep going.
No, come on now.
Anyway, Doc, kids are out doing things. Phillies baseball is going to be on the air tonight, a live exhibition game at Washington. You had Tina results on this morning. Some little leagues are playing. Some softballs are playing. But again, we encourage everybody involved, just follow the guidelines so everybody else can then get into their full swing of soirees down the stretch. So, I mean, there are some things with Legion Baseball. We're going to have a Legion Baseball game on the air, a local baseball game on the air on WPPA Live Tuesday night. You and I will be at Pottsville, Schuylkill Valley, and Tamaqua will be playing. Going to be a cool night. It's going to have a major league feel from what I understand. And they're going to honor the kids that are a part of those two Legion programs, and they're going to have a senior night for them. So they're going to honor the senior members, the class of 2020, that are on those teams. So we're going to have a live broadcast Tuesday night around 7 o'clock. We'll go on the air, and we're going to talk local sports and have some play-by-play. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun, actually.
I don't know that the old iPad's going to be working that night, but we'll see. Because that may be a lot to get those lists in early.
What?
Huh?
What?
What?
It's not going to be working?
No, it's going to take too long to type all those names in.
We're going to have to go back to pen and pencil?
I think so. You don't have to if you don't want to, but you better, because you're the one that always gets confused with it.
Put pencil to pen?
Yeah.
Pencil to paper?
Yeah, I think that might be the best interest for both of us.
Okay. I'll get the seeds.
No seeds.
Why? Oh, we can't have seeds. Yeah. Jay, see how complacent I was and you know, trying to kick back to the old days?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Yeah, no spit.
Nope.
Eat spit, be happy. Nope.
Nope.
Darn.
Nope. No seeds, buddy.
Oh, gosh.
So there's rule number one down the tubes.
What about peanuts? Can we do peanuts?
I guess, because we're not spitting shells. We're cracking shells, but we're going to make a mess. I don't know that anybody's going to be happy with us.
Well, when you're talking about cracking it, it's the summertime. Maybe we should crack some crabs.
That's really messy. I don't work that hard for food ever.
Like, I'm not a big crab eater.
If somebody's gonna peel those legs for me and get me just the meat, I'm okay. Yeah. But I don't think you should have to work that hard for food.
Oh, you don't eat the legs on those crabs that they be cracking. Yeah, yeah.
No, not the hard shells.
Yeah, yeah. The snow crab, they're not hard to get that meat
king's
out of.
King's not bad.
Oh, king's is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I can't afford it.
But like I'm saying, you know, you don't got to work that hard for food, pal.
Yeah, I know.
So, no, I guess that's out of the question, too, on Tuesday. So we'll have to figure something out.
Popcorn?
If it's all
right. Cracker Jack. I'll bring the Cracker Jacks.
You're
gonna
bring
some
caramel corn?
I'll bring Cracker Jacks.
All right.
Oh, I have this stuff. Oh, I got to tell you, that's for another time, another place. Candy Pop. That's the stuff. You got to have Candy Pop.
Candy Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank God this show is coming to an end, because now you're starting to salivate all over the place and I'm getting nervous.
That's the bottom of my desk drawer. Candy Pop.
Well, Doc, wrap up another week of the program. We'll talk Tuesday night, you and I, from 16th Street, Stottlefield at the CACL Complex.
Take me out to the ball
Google Valley, Tamaqua Legion right here on WPPA. And while we're talking CACL, let's thank our financial benefactors. 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Now open along the Port Carbon-St. Clair Highway for drive-through service. And voted the number one lending institution for the past six years. Check them out at caclfcu.org, because you'll be looking forward to the greatest fiduciary relationship you can find.
BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations for your grocery shopping needs. Stop by, check them out. Minersville, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Millersburg. It's BG's Value Markets. They've got the freshest meat for the hottest irons of that summertime grill. In fact, if that meat was any fresher, Chaz Hepler,
you'd have to slap it, Edward.
I'm telling you what, my new favorite drink, the Diet Decaf Raspberry Iced Tea from Gears Dairy. Boy, I can't even sip it, my friend. I've got to chug it because it's so delicious. But summertime is made for sipping, and of course, there's no better sipping than from Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the Dairy Line, from whole milk to skim milk. the orange juice to start off your Saturday morning, and the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products now featuring raspberry and diet decaf raspberry tea.